Thank you for downloading the Elohim Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Pastor Shane Budby. For more information, please visit our website at elohimchurch.com.
Oh, who's up for the Word of God? Yes! Oh, two people are. How about the rest of you? Who's up for the Word of God? Yes! Yay! And to welcome Pastor Shane and welcome the anointing he's carrying. Welcome the word that he's running with. Welcome Jesus to change us today from the inside out.
Thank you. Wonderful. All good?
Yes.
Excellent. Well, we've got a few chairs down the front now if people would like to move forward. If you're warm, then you might want to come down here because it's nice and cool. In fact, this pulpit's gone absolutely freezing.
Yeah.
Cool. Angus, could I have my image on the screen, please? Thank you. So, just so there was no mistaking on what I'm talking to you about today, listen to God.
Woo!
There you go. Kind of, it's there. Says it. So, no matter where I go from this point on, you will know that what I'm talking to you about is listening to God. And this is something which God really spoke to me about a couple of weeks ago with regards to hearing from God and getting that right thing with God where he talks to us in a way that is personal.
Yeah.
And sometimes, and God really spoke to me, and I've spoken to me over a number of years about the difference between hearing from God for yourself or expecting somebody else to hear from God for you. Like expecting your friend or your husband or your wife or your pastor to kind of be the secretary between you and God. Okay, that kind of, well, I don't hear from God myself, but I'm really hoping that you're going to hear from God for me, otherwise I'm lost. Now, you look through your Bible, not now, look at the different great people in the Word. Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Samuel, Paul. They've all got something in common in which when they hit the point where God was calling them into their destiny, they didn't have somebody else go and say, God has said, you've got to do this. God spoke to them personally. They had a personal encounter with God which radically changed their life. And for me, that's something which I can hang on to because nobody told me about my destiny. Nobody came up and said, God has said, this is what you are going to do. There's been two very distinct, clear points in my life over the last 10, 11 years since being saved. The first one was about coming here and finishing Rothy and knowing that this is where God wanted us to come. But as somebody at the church here at the time said, I feel God saying you need to come here and do the youth work, then chances are I wouldn't have listened to them. I would have said, you've got to get on your bike, I've done 6 weeks, that's enough. But God spoke to me personally about that. And when God speaks personally, we are hit with something which is so different to when a person speaks it to us. When God speaks personally to you, something hits home like nothing else. Secondly, with regards to leading the church, God had to speak to me personally. If Pastor Leonard had come to me and said, I really feel God saying that you're going to take the church on once I stand down, I'd have probably just been like, there's no chance. I've seen what you have to do. I'm not doing that. But God spoke to me personally. And there was no avoiding what God had said. I could have tried to change it. But God, when God speaks, he speaks so clearly and so simply that when we are listening, we can't mistake what he has said. We need to check it out. And I'm going to come to that a little bit more. But there's something about Jesus and the way he used to get people thinking. And Jesus very rarely gave answers. He is the answer. But when he was walking the earth, he very rarely gave answers. You look through the Gospels and people asking him questions all the time. And he's always giving a parable or kind of a bit of a thing. He like left thinking, what does that mean? There's no answer. And this, God really spoke to me through this particular passage in Mark 11. And starting from verse 27, and this is where I'm going to lead out from for today. Again, they entered Jerusalem. As Jesus was walking through the temple area, the leading priests and teachers of religious law, the elders, came up to him. They demanded, "By what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right to do them?" "I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. If you answer one question," Jesus replied, "did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human? Answer me." They talked it over amongst themselves. If we say it was from heaven, he will ask, "Why didn't we believe in John?" But if we dare to say it was merely human, for they were afraid of what the people would do, because everyone believed that John was a prophet. So finally they replied, "We don't know." And Jesus responded, "Then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things." And I just love that, because it had been so easy, and so many times where Jesus had an opportunity to give somebody a clear answer and say, "It's like this." But Jesus was so wise and so switched on, he knew that a lot of the time if he gave the straight answer, people weren't going to accept it. People weren't going to get it, and people were just going to close down. So it was so clever. And when you study the ministry of Jesus, his ability to interact with people is so clever. And he always is wanting to draw out of somebody what's there, or just leave it with them and say, "Go figure it out. You know, I know where my authority comes from. You go away and figure it out." You put that in the contrast to Peter. And when Jesus says to him, you know, "Who do you say I am?" And he asks him the same question, really. "Who do you say I am? Where's my authority come from? Who am I?" And Peter gets that revelation from God. "You are the Christ, the Son of God." Now, just think about that for a second. If it had been a bit different, if Jesus had have said to Peter, "I am the Messiah, I am the Christ, I am the Son of God," would Peter's response been the same? Or would it have been something completely different than when he heard and got a revelation for himself? Now, obviously, Jesus is God, and when he's speaking, it's like hearing from God. But at the time he was walking the earth in the form of God the Son, he was leaving it with people. And Peter got that revelation to hear from God, and something sank into Peter which enabled him to continue in his ministry. Once Jesus had risen and ascended, he was able to continue in a steadfast faith because of something that had gone in the inside of him. And Jesus and God, you know, it doesn't always give us that straight answer with somebody else. He sometimes wants to give us that straight answer personally, particularly with regards to your destiny and your call and where he wants you to be and what he wants you to do. Because a lot of the time, you know, I'm not one for giving anybody a word, really, unless it's so clear from God that you're going to do this, because I'm not going to be the one that has somebody come back to me 2 years down the line and say, "You told me I was supposed to do this, and now it's all gone to, you know, a mess, and this has gone wrong." You think, well, okay. Which is why, you know, when we hear from God for ourselves, we can stand on the firm ground of knowing, "God, I know this is what you said. I know this is what you've spoken to me, because I've been listening and I've heard from you. This wasn't a word from somebody else. This was a word that went personally into my spirit, and then I heard from God on my own. I checked it out with people. I got wise counsel on it, and I'm standing on this." And it's so easy to change when somebody else gives us it. And this is what I found interesting as I was praying through this, that sometimes we might not want to hear from God directly. We might want to avoid hearing from God directly because it's easier to disobey one of God's servants than it is to disobey God directly. Think on that for a second. It's easier to disobey one of God's servants than it is to disobey God directly. Now, if God speaks to me personally, then that is what I've heard. And I can try and change it, I can try and manipulate it, I can try and write it down and add a little bit, I can take something out, but there's always going to be something in me that's saying, this is what you've heard from God. You've got to be true to what you've heard from God. Now, if somebody else brings that word to me, I can think they've got their own agenda. They're just trying to get me to do something they want me to do. They've got it wrong. They can't hear from God properly. And we kind of put all these things on it and saying, you know, you've not heard from God for me. I'm sorry. Now, for me, I've had loads of words spoken over me since getting saved. Countless words. People giving me words all the time. None of them have stuck with me like the words which God spoke to me personally. There's some words that people have spoken that have stuck because they've been so timely, and they've been something that has come in at the right time to help me to be able to stand on something which confirms what God had already said. Now, the rest of the stuff, you know, I can't remember hardly any of them. The stuff that God's spoken to me personally resounds all the time in my spirit, word for word. I can replay it in my mind. I can replay what he said exactly. I can remember where I was. I can remember the smell. I can remember that, you know, one of the times I was in the tent at the move, so it did stink. You know, there's something about that made that time so real. And anybody that's heard from God in that way just knows there's something about that becomes tangible between you and God, something about that word which you grasp a hold of. And as we look at those great people in the word, when we think about the destiny and the call that was on their lives, on your Moseses, on your Abrahams, on your Joshuas, on your Samuels, on your Pauls, it needed something of God to come and invade into their lives in such a way that they weren't going to get so far down the line and say, uh-uh. That person must have got it wrong. I'm sorry, but I'm not doing this anymore. There was no way of them backing out. There was a personal experience of listening to God where God spoke and said very clearly, you know, go into Egypt and declare to Pharaoh, let my people go. You will cross, take the people over the Jordan, be strong and very courageous. Why are you persecuting me, Saul? Get up, go and see the guy who's going to get your eyes right, because you need to follow me. You know, all these people had an impact with Jesus, had an impact with God in some way which changed their life radically, not as a result of what someone else told them, but as a result of what God told them personally. And it is a personal responsibility for us to come into a place of listening to God and hearing him for ourselves. And sometimes we get to a stage where we think, God's not speaking. I'm not hearing anything from God. God's not speaking to me. Please hear from God for me, because I can't hear anything. And, you know, you can ask as many people as you want, and you kind of get these people, don't you? You see them. They turn up at every single conference that you go to. And they're always the ones going forward for prayer. And it doesn't matter what the altar calls for, they're always down there. You feel really sorry for the person. You think, man, I don't know how you're still alive if you've got all that stuff wrong with you. But they're kind of like, they're there all the time. God spoke to me about it a number of years ago, and I was saying, why do these same people always turn up? Is it that they're so hungry for you, they want something? Or is it that they're looking for something that they're never going to find? And God said, they're looking for something they're never going to find. Unless they hear from me personally, they're always trying to hear from the big great man of God, or the big great woman of God, or find the touch of God through somebody else, rather than getting on the knees with God, getting in a place with God and saying, it's me and you, Lord. Here it's me and you alone, just like in the Song of Solomon about, you know, here it's me and you alone in that garden place, that peace, that locked away garden of locked away with God in a way that says, it's me and you, and I need to hear from you personally. I need to hear what you are saying about my life. I need to hear what you are saying about this situation, because I've got a lot of stuff. I've got lots of paper stuffed in a folder about what other people have said. I've got all the words in the Bible. I've got every single person on God Channel telling me stuff. But I need to hear from you personally. And sometimes it's easier to just keep traveling around and going to all the big crusades and going to all the big conferences and just hoping this time that person who's preaching is going to tell me what God wants me to do. That person's going to tell me how this works out. That person's going to do it. And even at Rafi, I sometimes saw people, it was kind of like when certain people had come, they'd be like, oh, come on, God. This is the time that you can now tell me this certain thing. And it's like, let God tell you anyway. Let God tell you something in a personal way, which is going to sink down so deep. And I'm passionate about this. I'm passionate about this because I've seen how it's impacted my own life. Now, I can be honest, you know, we're a couple of months away from the end of September. But since 2010, when God spoke to me at Faith Camp about taking on this church, there has been countless times when I have so wanted that word to change. I have so wanted to be able to say, Pastor Lynn got it wrong. But Pastor Lynn wasn't the one that gave me the word. The guy who was preaching in the move got it wrong. But it wasn't the guy in the move that gave me the word. Maybe I misheard. No, you didn't mishear. You have got it written down from that exact night with the date, in speech marks, with the time and everything else. You cannot change this word. The only way anything is going to change about this word is if you directly disobey what I have told you. And that was like, okay, God. But what about this? What about this? No, doesn't change. I've told you this is what it is. This is no one else. And I'm so passionate about that because I've needed that word so often to hang on at times where it's just been like, I can't do this, God. This is not me. This is not my call. This is not what I want to do. Let me stay with young people and kids forever because, you know, it's something about that which I feel comfortable in. I feel quite comfortable in some ways doing pastor work as well, but it's a bit different sometimes. Pastor Lynn showed me a great article, one of the Word for Today is about love your pastor. It's worth reading. It's a really clever little piece. Pastor Lynn, she's going to get it blown up and framed and somewhere up in the oven. I thought, that's not a bad idea. Yeah, if you get with Word for Today, have a read of it. I'm not sure what date it was from. October. Coming October, or last October? All right. Find an October word for today and just look through it. Yeah. There you go. So, but do you know where I'm coming from with this? Is everybody still with me about this listening to God and not looking for a cop-out all the time of, you know, why are you not hearing from God for me? You're the pastor or you're the leader. You're supposed to be hearing from God for me. What about me? Like, well, go and hear from God for yourself and then come back to me when you have heard so that someone who's in leadership can help you walk that word through. Yes, which brings me to that next point. And there's a word which was brought into this house. This is where my photographic memory comes into play. The hub was unfinished. And it was the point where we used to have the preacher kind of standing here. And all the chairs were on an archway. And Mr. Stevie P preached an amazing word, which has always stuck in my head. And that must have been around 2010, because it was just before the summer before we opened. And he was talking about the ability for the shepherd to be able to see further than the sheep. Now, the sheep want to run off and do their own thing, but they can't see as far as the shepherd. The shepherd can say, stop, hang on a minute. There's a electric fence down there or something, or whatever you want to see. You know, there's a guy who's hunting sheep. You know, you know, able to say stop. And it's always something that stuck with me because it resounded so clearly in my own personal life at that time of the shepherd can see further than the clock. The shepherd can see the flock. I'm trying to think of some way that that statement could actually work, but there is none. Yes. See, yeah, the shepherd can see further than the flock. And with regards to God speaking to us, now I'm not saying that I'm trying to put me and Pastor Lynn out of a job here as the pastors of the church and saying, go and hear from God for yourself, because we're not going to hear from God anymore. We're going to hear from God for us personally. You're going to hear from God for yourself personally. We're still going to be hearing for the church, and we're still going to be hearing for people. But that whole thing of you going away and hearing from God for yourself, and then having that godly wisdom and godly counsel to come and say, look, this is what God said, and I just need a bit of help in matching this up with things, because I'm not sure this matches with what I've heard in the past. I'm not sure if this matches with God's word. I'm not even sure if I've heard clearly. Will you help me? Now, as a pastor, there's something in me that makes me feel very uneasy when people just kind of hear big words from God and launch off and don't kind of look for a multitude of counsel. You know, I absolutely love Solomon. I've been drawing on the anointing of Solomon these last few weeks for wisdom and to understand things that I would never have an understanding of, just as Solomon had an understanding of those things that you think, that's amazing. He asked for wisdom and he spoke with authority about trees and plants and all these kinds of things. And he said that there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. So be wise. You know, that's the wisest guy that ever lived saying, there's even multitude in council. So if the wisest guy that ever lived needs to recognise, I need some people to bounce these things off. I need this person to go to and say, this is what I think's happening, but stand with me in it. Pray through it with me. Do you get a check in your spirit about this, Garth? I'm still unsure. And the job of the pastor of any church, the leader of any church, is not to hear from God for you. It's not to get a word from God for you. If, you know, and sometimes there's a situation where, yeah, as we have this Sunday morning, it might be very easy for me and Pastor Lynn to sit and pray and get a word for every single one of you. Now, and that's great. Think about when Brian's vision of 400 of a footstool comes to pass. And we've got over 400 people connected with Elohim Church. That's going to be a heck of a long morning. Okay, it'll almost be as long as when we used to have church at the school. And that's long. So, you know what I'm saying? It's getting that rethinking of my personal walk and my personal journey with God and hearing from God is down to me personally. And I kind of shared a statement at the men's weekend that I heard Crefro Dollar say that about his church, of saying, you know, as your pastor, I'm not here to solve all your problems for you. I'm here to live through those same problems and then advise you how I best dealt with it. And it's exactly the same with hearing from God. Now, we can, you know, we do hear from God. You know, don't worry. We're not just like launching off in like blind and thinking that would be a good idea or that would happen. We hear from God. And we hear from God for the direction of the church. And we hear from God for people. But if people aren't hearing from God for themselves, it makes it very difficult to be able to bring something to somebody because they kind of just close off. It's like, I don't want to hear what you're saying. Or some people completely open up and say, come on, give me it. Give me the word of God. Tell me what I'm supposed to do because I don't know. It's like, well, have you asked God? Yeah, but he's not saying anything. Well, keep asking God then. No, but I want you to tell me. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not God. Okay? I'm not going to tell you. He didn't ask me to go and tell Moses to go into Israel. He didn't ask me to go into Egypt. He didn't ask me to tell Joshua to be strong and courageous to cross the Jordan. He didn't ask me to knock Paul off his horse and blind him and tell him to go and get sorted, you know. So he's not going to ask me. Do the same for you. He wants to speak to you personally. He wants to speak to you in a personal way. Now, once you've heard from God, and it's very, you know, I can remember the very first time I heard from God for myself. Again, it's one of those times when it's photographic memory, kind of remembering, being at what they used to be called revival conferences at the NRC back in those days, and being flat on my face, and struggling with a few things bodily, which were causing me some issues. And me kind of declaring, you know, healing over my body, and God just spoke to me, and I heard a voice come. It kind of sounded a bit like Pastor Colin, actually. And it just said, I'm healing you. Get back up. And I was like, whoa. And that was the first time I ever heard God's voice. And I was like, and ever since then, I've just continued to be able to recognize God's voice and recognize what God's saying. But sometimes even when I think it's clear, I still want to check things out because I'm not like Steve, and I don't know every single scripture off by heart. Steve's a proper man of the word. He's like a proper teacher of the word. That he's one of these people that can get up without his Bible and say the scripture and say the page and the book and the scripture reference. I'm not, and probably never will be one of those people. I'm a bit more of a, like, you know, it says somewhere that I know for definite it's there. But if you want to find the reference, Google it. We've got modern technology and how to do that. That's what I have to do. I'm often like, where does it say that Jesus did this? And like, you meet some people and they're like, oh yeah, yeah, it's like, they're like, really? You remember that off by heart? It's like, that's amazing. But yeah, my memory's just not that good in that kind of thing. Tell me about what somebody said. I remember it. I always remember. I'm kidding. Don't worry about it. I'm holding no grudges. But I can't remember those things, but I can sometimes. I know when God speaks, and there's a few ways, and I wanted to bring these this morning, just how, and some of you will probably know them, but it's a good thing to recognize. And as God was speaking to me about this word, and he says, your word is so timely this morning, because I love to speak at Faith Camp. Oh, that's cool. I know you love to speak all the time, but I love to speak at Faith Camp. What did I say? It's where God spoke to me a number of times about really key stuff in my life. And I know there's people here as well who've been to Faith Camp, and God has spoken so clearly at camp. And it's not that you have to get on that particular point of the Google map in Peterborough and say, okay, if you're outside of that, God's not going to speak. If you're in this plot of land at this time, God's going to speak on Unit 16. If you, it's like, if you're outside the metal gates of the showground, God's not going to speak. But if you're on the inside of them, he will. You know, it's kind of like, it don't work like that. It's not all confined to that. It's like, okay, like a special thing where it's like, if you're in this point at this set time, then I'm going to speak. But if you miss it, then that's it for another year. You're just going to have to wait. It doesn't work like that. God's ready to speak all the time. But there's something about having that concentrated time at Faith Camp, putting all the bad weather, putting all the tents, putting all the unusual food that you sometimes have to eat, putting all the different stuff aside, where it's you and God, it's you and your family and God, it's you and your church and God, together in one place. But for me, the Faith Camp element is a great, last year was great, and I loved being around the people, I loved the whole ethos that we had on the unit. But there's always something for me about Faith Camp where I just want to be on my own. And there's some times where I might not be in a meeting for the whole thing, or I might not be at a meeting because I just want to be on my own. And I want to take that time to really listen to God and hear what God's saying to me. And there's something about being in that place, not that it's a mystical place and it's like, the heavens open over, that's it. Like I said, it's not kind of restricted to a place and a time for a year, but setting that time aside, and God loves it when people set time aside. Yep. To say, I'm going to go and put this time aside, and I'm going to really receive. Will we be able to turn that down a little bit? I think my hand's turning blue. It's got, I feel like Iceman off X-Men now. If you fall to sleep, I'll just blast ice at you out of my hand. Or whatever her name is, off Frozen. Shh. Yeah, that's nice. I'm going to put my hand in my pocket, not because I want to look casual, but simply because I'd like to have feeling back in it by the end of the preach. So the thing, so with Faith Camp, God can speak, and God speaks clearly. And you're putting yourself in that position for God to be able to do that. Now, quickly, in this time, it's easy to hear from God, it really is. It's not something difficult to hear from God. If your life's in order and you know that you're not directly disobeying God in any way, it's easy to hear from God. What I'd say is if you're struggling to hear from God, then it's maybe something you need to just check out, because God is speaking and God wants to speak, but the chances are it's more something to do with you personally that needs to change to open that phone line up again so that God can speak, You've kind of cut the cable. I don't really have cables anymore, but old school. You've cut the cable, or you've cut the signal by something that you're doing. And unless that comes back in line again, God can't speak. And there's some things that are directly, being in direct disobedience to God, or people who God's put in leadership, is going to hinder your ability to hear from God. Men who don't treat their wives well, says their prayers are not answered. And, so God's really clear on, keeping life right so that prayers can be answered and he can hear your prayers and then you can hear from him as well. So, when God speaks, be sure to bounce it against Scripture. Scripture is the final authority, and anything that contradicts Scripture must be rejected. Now, in our modern society, there's countless times where people will say, God's given me this word. And it's like, it doesn't say that in his word, though. Yeah, but he's changed his mind. Alarm bells for me as soon as someone tells me God's changed his mind. It's kind of like, has he? So he's given us the Bible all these thousands of years, and now he's changed his mind for you? Okay, you must be a real special person. Or God hasn't changed his mind, and something is trying to change your perception of the word. It's like, well, you've got an issue with it, but God's not bothered. you know, it doesn't, you know, it's, if it's in his word, it's in his word, it doesn't change. You know, the whole thing we've got going on in our nation at the moment about same-sex marriage and all these different things going on, like saying, you know, and the whole statement that Elton John made about if Jesus was around today, I wouldn't have an issue with gay marriage. It's like, yes, he would, because he hasn't changed. And he is around today. You know, my statement that morning when I came in from the 8 o'clock was Elton John needs to stick to doing music and do what he's good at. And let the people who know what they're talking about with regards to Jesus and God do what they're good at. I thought I might have got an amen then. There's obviously some Elton John fans in the house. Have I upset your Crocodile Rock now? Rocket Man.
You like Elton John, not his
music. Oh, there you go. I don't know, I like Elton John's music. His sound, you know, the songs in Romeo and Juliet are fab. But anyway, if the word doesn't match with God's word, if you put that test up against God's word, that first and foremost thing, does this word line up with the Bible? No, right, I've not heard correctly. Back to the drawing board. Simple as that. If you're hearing something that's saying to do something which contradicts the Bible, you're hearing wrong, or you're hearing from the wrong source. So let it go. It's the second that sentence started coming out of my mouth, and I tried to draw it back in because I knew what was going to follow. I tell you what, I've not even seen the film Frozen. There's already two things in my preach got into it. Obsession. There you go. Yeah. Right. I've got to think about how I carry on now without saying that phrase again. Yeah. Take it back. Reverse it. Okay, yeah. Just leave it behind and forget the fact that you heard it, move on, and accept the fact I got it wrong. Okay. Compare the word against other things God has spoken in your life through prior prophecies, personal devotions, and pastoral counsel. There's so many different ways, you know. Have you had loads of stuff spoken over you, for example, saying, this is what I'm going to do, and then all of a sudden you hear something that says, actually, you're going to do this? It's like, oh, great, that sounds better than all those other words I've had, so I'm just going to launch off into this. You know, so for example, God, you might have had loads and loads of words that God's saying, you know, you're never really going to be on the platform, you're not called to be that kind of person, you're going to serve the house and be the person that's in the background, your name's not really going to be known, but your deeds will be known, and you'll be remembered in heaven, and you think, yeah, that sounds good, I'm happy with that, I'm happy to clean toilets, I'm happy to do all the different stuff. And then all of a sudden, somebody else, or you hear a different word, or you hear something that says, next year, Pastor Clive's going to invite you to speak at Faith Camp, and you're going to be the main stage speaker. I think, wow, that doesn't quite match up with what I've already heard, but that sounds awesome, so forget it. See you later, guys. I'm going to go and be a main stage speaker. Chances are it probably won't work out. You know, all these things match up together. I could always see in my own personal life a journey of different things that God spoke that were always building one on top of the other. There was never any U-turns. Once I'd got saved, everything became a journey, an adventure, which was always building into the next stage, like a really awesome computer game, where you like you're working through your levels, kind of getting there, and you're like, okay, I've got this point now, now I'm going to this point, and you know, yeah, my life was a massive U-turn once I got saved, but ever since getting saved, it's been something that's built all the time. There's never been any rogue words that have come in and kind of thrown me off, you know, and if somebody kind of brings me a word that's kind of said something, I kind of think, thank you for sharing that with me. Yeah. I'll say that whether I believe you or not, but there's sometimes people, you can sometimes get things you think, nah, that's way off the mark, but I don't want to upset you, so I'll just say thank you. It's a bit like when you open a present that you didn't really want and you're kind of like, ah, that's lovely, thank you. You put a smile on and you can, the people just know, don't they? Oh no, he doesn't like it. I'm not the only one who's been in that situation on Christmas Day. Or you've bought somebody something and you see the face when they thank you, Jamie. Silence. It's like being back at ID 5 years ago. Thank you very much. Or if somebody else opens a present and you think, oh no, I've got that one wrong. And I was like, this is great, I love it. It's like, no, you don't really. I missed the mark. But I very rarely do that because I hear from God about what to get. Not really. I've put myself in that position now. Next time we buy somebody a present, they'll be like, this church is going to fall apart. Shane's not hearing from God anymore. He's bought me a One Direction CD and I can't stand them. Things like that. I'll never buy anybody a One Direction CD. Thank you, yeah. Okay. If you have any questions, alarm, fear, discomfort about a particular word, run it by your pastor or a leader of your church. Always there, always happy to help and say, okay, I can see where you're coming from, but maybe it's just not right for now. Or maybe you just heard that wrong. Or maybe you need to go away and sit with it a little bit longer. And as I said, I feel very uneasy when people kind of, they come back like a couple of years down the line and say, but God spoke this to me and now I'm in this mess. I think, well, did you seek wisdom and counsel? No, no, because God had spoken to me, so I just did it. Like, well, Solomon had to seek counsel, and he's the wisest guy that ever lived, so is it any wonder why he's in this situation now? And, you know, it kind of, there's a fine line between initiative and stupidity. A very, very fine line between initiative and stupidity. Now, initiative is awesome, and I love people who take initiative, that they kind of get something and they think, right, I can see that needs doing, or I'm going to do this, or I know that if I do this, it's going to be fine. Stupidity is just like doing stuff, and you think, why on earth did you do that? What were you thinking? Well, I really thought that's what God had said. No, that's not what God said. No, God would never say that. God would never say that. Please don't do that. And there's a fine line between being wise and being unwise. Yeah. And sometimes it's difficult to gauge. Now, there's still things now that I want to check out with a multitude of counsellors. I've got people that I check stuff out with all the time. Pastor Lynn being one of them, Sam being the other. Two great women in my life. to run the godly things past and say, I'm not sure about this, what do you think? Now, sometimes Sam can just be quite straight down the line and say, no, that's not right. Awesome. But that's great, because I'm the kind of person that I need a wife who does that from time to time, especially when I start getting carried away. I'm a bit unrealistic sometimes, and I can hear from God and want to launch off into something straight away. This is what God said, bang, let's go. It's like, whoa, hold up a little bit, trigger, kind of, you know. Slow down, settle down, and let's just walk through this. Okay, I'm not a walking kind of person when it comes to stuff. It's like, okay, we've got the word, let's go, we're in. Yeah, if I was at war, it'd be kind of like a nightmare to follow me in war. So it'd just be like, okay, we've got the guns, we've got the weapons, let's go! It's like, this is my story for the day. And I had said I was going to try and aim for half an hour, but I've shot that now, so... We went to CBeebies Land on Friday. Yes. Now, they've got a Justin's House thing there. Anybody that knows Justin's House? It's just crazy. Now, Elijah wasn't allowed to go in because he was too small. So I was like, it's okay. So Hazel went in with Ewan and Ella. I was like, no, it's fine. You can go in. With a big smile on my face, but really disappointed. But then when they came back out, Ewan says he wanted to go in with me. And I'm so glad, because basically, it's this crazy house thing where they've got these like air compression cannons where you fire soft balls at everybody. And it was kind of like me, water pistols, softball firers, air rifles, anything like that, you know, because my granddad always used to take us to the woods with his air rifle when I was a kid. So I've got a thing about stuff like this, and I just absolutely loved it. So you collect all these balls in a bag and you just unload, and people were just being silly. And I don't know why, but there's this woman that was kind of straight opposite, and I just singled her out. And I just unloaded everything on her. It was just like, I was like, okay, I'm going for this. And then she saw me again and just laughed and says, you absolutely battered me there. I thought, I know. This is amazing. All the adults in there are having far much fun than the children are. The kids are kind of like wondering around what's going on. I'm there like, like looking for the other adult. I didn't shoot any children. It was all. There was one point where I had a clear shot, and I thought, "No, I won't do that." I was always looking, and some of the parents in there just couldn't take it. You know, those ones that they've gone in because the kids want to go in, but they really don't want to be there. They're the kinds of people I like to single out. Because I think, "You look really miserable. I'm going to shoot you at the side of the head." And the one woman like looked at me like, oh. "It's like, come on, cheer up. It's only a sponge ball." But I love to launch off into stuff like that. And so I sometimes need somebody to say, I need wisdom to say, hold up a little bit. Okay? Needless to say, Sam wasn't in Justin's house with me to say, settle down. I just kind of got you in there looking at me in awe like, you're the pastor of the church. You're like, you're going crazy. But it was good fun, so I'd recommend it for anybody, even adults. It was awesome. Like I said, the adults were having more fun than anybody else. It was just, yeah. But I like to launch off into stuff like that, but it's. But sometimes, yeah. But that whole thing of getting that wisdom to hear and running it past people that you can say, okay, I think this is what God's saying, but I'm just not sure. And, you know. Chances are that we're always in a position when we hear from God that we're just not sure. We kind of heard it so clearly, and we kind of still heard it. All the times I've heard big words from God, I kind of think, you know, I'm not that I question that I've heard from God, but I question if I've heard from God right. Or I might question and think, that is too big. God, I can't do that. I need to check this out with somebody else. I need somebody else to say, yeah, I feel that's what God's saying for you as well. Or I feel you just need to hold that and store that up in your heart. Or, yeah, let's pray through this together. Let's make this journey together. And there's all these different ways that God has put godly leadership in place, the whole shepherd seeing further than the flock, to be able to say, okay, you're not going to understand what I'm saying right now. And I can see you're excited about this word, and I can see you're excited about launching off into it, but I can see what's down there, and you can't. And I'm saying, hold fire. Whether it's a Justin's house gun or not. Hold fire. Just sit with it. Pray with it. Don't go running away with it. Just let God work it in you. And countless times that's happened and people have come and said, you know, I'm so glad that you enabled me to hold back because now I can see where I'm at. And, you know, God was able to do that to us personally in so many times. I think, oh, thank you, God, that that word wasn't applied straight away when we got it, because we'd have been in a real mess. I'm so thankful for godly counsel and godly wisdom and godly leadership around me to say, hang fire, pray it through, let me pray about it with you, and all these different things that are available. And, you know, we had the word last week about being united, and our salvation journey is not a solo effort. You know, if Jesus had to come to earth, if God on earth assembled 12 guys to be around him and help him get the job done, then you need to do the same as well. There are no solo efforts. There are no Rambos. There are no James Bonds. You know, even those guys need a little bit of help. They take all the credit, but, you know, they still need a bit of help. You know, where would James Bond be without Q? You know, he'd never have all those cars and guns and gadgets, would he? You know, it's those people. We need those people. It's not a solo effort. It's a united effort. And there's godly wisdom there all the time to do that. Okay. Do not act on any directive or calling or gifting word unless you get confirmation from other sources. If this is a word from God, it will be happy to confirm it for you. So don't think, you know, I love John Mackay's statement when he said, you know, if you're going to give somebody a word that they're going to Africa, you better make sure you buy a plane ticket to go with them to tell them when to come back. You know, it's kind of like that awesome statement of, yeah, don't go dishing around directive words. But for yourself personally, if you get a directive word, if you hear from God straight and personally, if you're listening to God, you will hear those kinds of things. Don't just launch off. Ask God to confirm it. He's always going to be happy to say, yeah, do it this way. Look how many times Moses questioned at the burning bush. It was like, but this, but that, but this, but that. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. Every time God was confirming, yes, you can, yes, you can, yes, you can. And all these different people we see all the time. There's countless times where God gives that word and direction. And it's not just a one-off thing, but God will be happy to do that. And always going to do that. Always going to be happy to do that. And then lastly, don't read into the word that you want to say. And don't read into the word what you want it to say. Yeah. And I've got an example here which I thought was quite interesting, where we hear one thing and we change it round to say something else. Yeah. So here we go, here's a little story. A woman was given a word that she would meet a man she was to marry in 5 years, and he would be a musician. She was in fact engaged to another man who was not a musician and married him a few weeks after receiving the word. She redefined the word to meet her circumstances, changing its meaning to her fiancé would become a musician in 5 years. The marriage did not go well and they separated 3 years later. It was invalid to use this word as a basis for marrying this man because she twisted the meaning and fit it with her circumstance. So that's why it's so, when God speaks, it's so important to write like that. I don't just write words down. If they're clear, directive words, I'll write it down and I'll date it and I'll let it drill in and burn into my spirit and my mind of when it was said, how it was said, and what was said. You know, there's another section about when God spoke to me about taking on the church here. There's another part of that word, which, you know, I don't bring in contexts like this, which I often go back and I think, I don't really want that bit of the word to be there. I've dealt with the fact that I'm going to take on the church now, and I'm excited and I can't wait, and I'm so loving the journey that we're on as a church together at the moment. But there's another section of that which God also said, and every time I read it, when I go back to encourage myself about September and what's happened, there's another bit which I think, oh, why did you have to say that? I don't want that bit to be there. Please take it away. Please do, you know, please let me know that I heard you wrong. But you know, it's always there because the date is there, and it's like, okay, God, this is what you said, and I just trust you for that to happen. But we can sometimes try and change what we hear, and it's never a good idea. It's never a good idea to start playing around with, well, did God say that, or maybe he meant that. But when God speaks, he speaks very clearly. And it doesn't make it, you know, he doesn't speak in riddles. When he speaks to you, it's not like a game. You know, it doesn't turn up on your door with a big question mark on it. I can't say, you know, figure out, or like the word cut out of wrappers and stuff and newspaper bits like one of those riddle notes. It's kind of like, you know, he speaks really clearly. And I'm honest, you know, maybe you might find something different, but I find from the way he speaks to people in the word and the way he's spoken to me personally, there's never any question about what he says. It's really clear. And it's not necessarily questioning what he said. I know what he said, and I know exactly what he says, and I know clearly what he says. I'm constantly hearing him all the time, different things that he's speaking, and especially when I'm out of my little walks around and stuff, or walking down to church and just saying, you know, God, what about this? And at the same time, I can be so clear, but I still want to check it out. I still want to match it up. I still want to make sure that I'm hearing from God. I'm not hearing from another source. I still want to make sure that I've got people supporting me in that, and people that can say, yeah, I can see that. When I was praying for you last week, I also felt that's what God was saying for you, or I'm just not sure that that's right for you at this moment in time. And hearing from God is the most important thing you're going to do now. If you can't hear from God for yourself, then this journey of faith is going to be something that you kind of limp along with all the time. Thinking, you know, when's God going to speak to me? When's this going to happen? When's this going to take place? And to hear from God for yourself is the thing that is going to ignite you to be able to continue to go forward. To go around asking for words from everybody else is just going to kind of keep the fire going a little bit, but not really cause it to spark up and flame up in such a way that, you know, like I said, you know, and I use those words, you know, those descriptions of the words that God's spoken to me personally is burnt onto my mind and burnt onto my soul, that is branded on there and cannot change, because I know it's what God said and I know it's what he spoke to me personally. Now, you might be here today and thinking, I've never heard from God in that way. Well, I need to encourage you that you go into. You might be here thinking, I've heard from God really clearly, but there's a few times when, you know, I don't receive godly counsel, or I don't go to get godly counsel, and I just launch off and do stuff myself. And I recognise that when you made that statement about a fine line between initiative and stupidity, it kind of stabbed a bit like a dagger, was the kind of feeling that I got when I said it. There were some people kind of thought, oh, I don't like that. Chances are that that's something that needs to adjust in your life if you didn't. It's something that we learn and walk through, you know. I've been many times bordering on stupidity as opposed to initiative sometimes, but we learn and we move on. But at the same time, when God speaks, he speaks clearly. And God wants to speak to you. God wants to speak to you all the time. But are you listening to God? Are you just listening to everybody else? Are you just trying to put the pieces of a puzzle together from all the different words you've heard from different people? Or have you got the big authority from God of saying, bang, this is the word for you. This is what I'm saying to you. This is what's going to happen for you. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like hearing a directive word straight from God. It's encouraging to get words from other people, but as I say, you can always question that. You can always say, well, maybe they got it wrong. Maybe they didn't say it properly. Maybe they were just trying to look good. You can ask all those questions about those things, but you can never question when God's spoken to you. When you know, when you've checked it out, when you've weighed it against the word, when you've done all those things that are said, you know, and you can be strengthened in the fact that this is not going to change. This is who I am. This is where God's taking me, and this is what's going to happen, and these are the people he's put around me to help me do it, and I'm going to continue to move forward in that. So I encourage you, we're going to have a bit of time in a second, just before we close, to hear from God this morning. And you don't need a long length of time. And to really start something, you know, and you don't even have to say, going up to people, you know, this is what God told me. Just as I get Matt to come up and play, just spend some time and listen to God as we're in this atmosphere, because God said to me, clearly, once you finish speaking, you need to give people the opportunity, thanks Matt, to hear from me as well. So I'm trusting that people are going to hear from God this morning. At the same time, you've got an awesome opportunity through this coming week to really get your heart right, get your life right for Faith Camp, where God does speak really clearly and God does want to speak into your life. He does it all the time, but there's something special about Faith Camp where setting that time aside to say, God, I'm here and I'm ready and I'm available for you to do what you want to do, and getting yourself prepared for that. And that's one of the reasons, you know, God said to me, this is a word you need to bring this morning, because it's to help people prepare for what's to come. And so we can stay seated, and Matt's just going to pray. And I just want to give you some time now to just listen to God, just hear from God, and, you know, don't force it. When we start forcing it, we get all worked up and all wound up, and it just kind of, we end up missing the mark, and it just doesn't work. So just sit and allow God to speak. Just allow God to speak. Thank you, Matt. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you that you do speak, and thank you that you want to speak to us this morning. You want to speak clearly into our lives. And I thank you for the ways that you've set things up and put things in place for us to be able to be wise in what we hear from you. Thank you for the kingdom structure that you have in your church, for godly wisdom that we can seek after. Wisdom from people that are further down the line or can see further down the line. Thank you for your word that never changes. Lord, that we would protect your word, that we wouldn't try to change it, that we would stand firm and match our lives up against the word that you've got. And Lord, I just pray right now that you speak to us clearly, that you encourage, you discipline, you strengthen. I thank you that when you speak, it's always something that requires a response in some way. And I pray this morning for, as we hear your voice, that there be a response as we leave this place as to what we need to do with that. Thank you, Jesus.